In Romans 12:2, Paul says we are to be transformed. We're to undergo a spiritual metamorphosis. That which is on the inside, your new holy nature, is to be daily, moment by moment, lived out on the outside. Your everyday way of living, your worship, your thoughts, your choices, the consequences that follow, all of it should be consistently characteristic of your new holy nature. The choices you make, the things you say, and the things that you do are all to be in perfect step with the new nature within. Well, welcome to the Point of Purity podcast. I'm your host, Steve Etner, author, national speaker, certified professional mentor, and purity coach for the Pure Man Ministry. This is episode 173. This week's episode is entitled Spiritual Metamorphosis. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, the Apostle Paul tells us to not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Greek word that Paul uses for transformed is a very interesting word. It's the word metamorpho. We get our English word metamorphosis from it. And if you can remember science class back in school, you may recall that a metamorphosis is a supernatural process whereby something changes from one thing into something totally, completely different from what it was before. It's a marked, complete change, not only of appearance, but even of behavior and character as well. What makes a metamorphosis so unique, what makes it so fascinating, is that the change that's taking place happens from the inside out. Let me repeat that. The change is taking place from the inside out. The most well-known example we have of a metamorphosis is that of a caterpillar transforming into a butterfly. Now, imagine with me for just a moment that you go out into your backyard and you dig up a large, juicy earthworm. You bring it inside. You lay it down on the dining room table. You get some construction paper, colorful construction paper. We got to make it colorful here. And you take a pair of scissors and you cut out a small pair of butterfly wings from that paper. You then lay those paper wings on top of the earthworm and, using a straight pin, you pin the wings to the worm. What would you have? Well, you'd have a squirming worm and a very dirty pinhole in your dining room table, but that's all you'd have. You're not going to have a butterfly, and the reason you do not have a butterfly is simply because it's not within the nature of the worm to be a butterfly. External change does not make a butterfly. On the other hand, the caterpillar changes into a butterfly because the nature of the butterfly is already within it. And as it goes through that metamorphosis, that which is on the inside, the nature of the butterfly, comes out on the outside and it totally transforms the caterpillar. Well, this metamorphosis, this spiritual transformation, is what Paul's talking about here. It's an outward change in your life that takes place from the inside out. Well, think about this. What is on the inside? Let me help you with the answer. Who is on the inside of every born-again believer? In Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, as a born-again believer, you have a brand new holy nature created by God himself dwelling inside of you. And Ephesians 4, verse 24 tells us that that new nature is created to be like God. Now, not created to be God-like, but created to be like God in all righteousness and true holiness. The new nature is who you are at the core of your being. Your soul has been redeemed. A new nature resides there. And Paul says in Romans 12:2 that we are to be transformed. We're to undergo a spiritual metamorphosis. That which is on the inside, your new nature, your holy nature that's been created to be like God, that new nature, that which is on the inside, is to be daily, moment by moment, lived out on the outside. Your everyday way of living, your worship, your thoughts, your choices, The consequences that follow, all of it, should be consistently characteristic of your new holy nature. The choices you make, the things you say, the things you do are all to be in perfect step with that new nature. So when you daily choose to live by the Spirit, Galatians 5:16, your new nature is not staying on the inside, it's coming out on the outside. You're being transformed. You're going through a spiritual metamorphosis. Now, I want you to take a moment and think once again about God's command in Romans 12:2. He says, "Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." As we saw in last week's episode, we're not to be conformed. We're not to put a mask on. We're never to pretend to be someone that we're not just so that we can fit in with the crowd around us. Rather, we are to always, mark it down, always let the new nature, that holy nature that God created within us, to be on display, to be displayed in our daily living, our attitudes, our choices, our demeanor, our words, our everything about us, our daily living, no matter where we are, who we're with, we are to live transformed. Well, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that the new nature, that new holy nature, is lived out on the outside. We go through that transformation only, watch this now, only when we choose to renew our mind. Now that begs the question, how does renewing your mind bring about a metamorphic transformation that changes you from the inside out? Not only that, but how do I renew my mind? Well, to answer this, let's consider what Paul means by the verb renew. Renew your mind. That verb refers to a total and complete renovation. Renovate your mind. An extreme mind makeover, if you will. To glorify God in your everyday life, your thinking needs to be thoroughly overhauled. Consider it this way. When you do a renovation project, let's say you're renovating your house, you're going to go through two major phases. The first one is demolition. You can't do the second until you first do the first. The first is demolition. You're gonna gut out all the old rotten material. You're getting rid of all of it. It's gone. Then you can begin the second phase. The second phase is rebuilding, remodeling, replacing the old with that which is new. God's command in Romans 12, verse 2 is that we renovate our thinking. We totally remove, we completely gut out the old thought process. What's the old thought process? What's going to make King me happy, happy, happy? We need to gut that process out and replace it with a brand new godly way of thinking. What will please God? What will bring Him all the glory? Think about it this way. Before salvation, before you became a born-again believer, your old nature was used to thinking, how can I please myself? What's the quickest and easiest way to bring King me the greatest amount of satisfaction? Every thought you thought was geared toward the worship of King me. I want, I need, I desire, I deserve, I have to have, I can't live without. It was all about me, me, me. And that kind of King me thinking led to a self-centered, self-worshiping kind of behavior that was all focused on personal comfort and satisfaction. You know what I'm talking about because you've been there. Well, the scriptures tell us, in order to live a life that is fully surrendered to the glory of God, that King me kind of thinking must be totally eradicated, completely removed, gutted out and replaced with a new way of thinking. What's going to honor God? That new nature, that holy nature that God has placed within you wants desperately for you to learn to think, how can I please God? Will what I'm about to say, will what am I about to do bring glory to God? You see, when my mind is totally focused on glorifying God in everything I say and do, my heart is going to desire to please Him. And in turn, my behavior becomes godly. You cannot change the behavior without first changing the heart. Remember, whom you choose to worship determines what you choose to think about. What you choose to think about determines what you choose to say and do. What you choose to say and do determines the consequences that result. You choose your consequences by choosing your worship. Now, let me repeat that. Don't miss this. You choose your consequences by choosing your worship. Now, I have a question for you here. Is this new way of thinking, this how can I glorify God way of thinking, is that automatic for the Christian? Well, hopefully you answered no, because the answer is obviously not. Otherwise, you wouldn't struggle with all of this. Now, this is precisely why we need the Holy Spirit to discipline our minds and to renovate, to renew our thinking. The fact is, Ephesians 4, verses 22 through 24, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness, Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. Now, in that verse, in those couple of verses in Ephesians 4, I want you to notice that God instructs us to put off the old self. So I have a question for you. What is the old self that we're supposed to put off? Well, we already know what it's not. It's not the old nature. Now, I'm sure that more than likely off the cuff, that was your response. Well, the old self is the old nature. No, it's not. And I say that simply because, as we discovered in an earlier episode, that old sinful nature was crucified the moment you put your faith in Christ for your salvation, Galatians 2:20. So it's not the old nature. Paul said, though, in our text, the old self is being corrupted. Now, that's a key here in understanding what he's talking about. Because remember, the old nature is dead. And since the old nature is dead, it is impossible for that old nature to continue to be corrupted. And Paul uses present tense, the old self is being corrupted. So what is Paul talking about? The old self, it's not the old nature, it is your humanness. It is the tendency of your human flesh towards sin. It's the sinful desires and the fleshly pursuits that are constantly hounding you and nagging you to, with the desire of pleasing King me. And the new nature is constantly struggling against this. In Galatians 5:17, Paul puts it this way, the desires of the flesh are against the spirit. The desires of the spirit are against the flesh. These are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do, Galatians 5:17. I also want you to notice that Paul tells us in our text in Ephesians 4 that the desires of the old self are deceitful. They're deceitful because they lead you to believe that fulfilling them, obeying them, making them happy, that's what's going to fulfill you and that's what's going to bring you satisfaction. They try to convince you that keeping them happy, well, that's what life is all about. They're deceiving you. They're lying to you. They're misleading you by telling your mind untruths. Remember, what you think becomes what you do, which is why your mind is always going to be the primary target of the enemy. He's after your thinking. So we need to be transformed. We need to let that which is on the inside be lived out on the outside by renovating our thinking. To renovate your mind, living a life that is set apart from sin, we must daily, we must moment by moment choose the counter, if you will, of those deceitful lies. We need to choose truth. We need to fill our mind with God's absolute truth found in God's word. In John chapter 17, verse 17, Jesus said this, we are sanctified, we are set apart for God by the truth, that which is an absolute, certain, genuine reality, the truth, God's truth. You see, Jesus goes on to explain that only God's word is absolute truth. So I encourage you to pursue that spiritual metamorphosis. Change the way you're thinking. And as you change the way you're thinking, your behavior will follow. All right, let's hit the pause button until next week's episode. Next week, we will continue this mini-series, which is kind of dragging out to being a large series, on how to glorify God. Now, in the meantime, if you'd like to learn more about this study, Or if you're interested in learning more about the Pure Man Ministry and what it is we do on a daily basis to help men across the globe find freedom and victory over their sexual addictions and sexual sin, be sure to visit our website. There's a multitude of resources we've made available to you. You can find the website at The Purity Coach. That's all one word, The Purity, P-U-R-I-T-Y, coach.com. Today, one of those resources I'd like to highlight for you is my newest book. It came out in February. It's entitled Purely Satisfied, Discovering How to Live in Genuine Purity. Again, the title is Purely Satisfied. Discover how to live in genuine purity. And that book is available right now on Amazon. When you find yourself, think about this, when you find yourself sexually thirsty, when you're feeling like, I'm going to shrivel up and die if my sexual need isn't being met, what do you do? Where do you typically go to try and find satisfaction? Let's face it, all too often, we turn to King Me for the solution. We focus on those choices that will satisfy the desires of the flesh, the lust of the flesh. Here's what I want you to understand. This is what Purely Satisfied, the book Purely Satisfied, is all about. You are thirsty. We won't deny that. We won't say anything but you are thirsty. And here's the thing. You're not thirsting for sexual fulfillment. That's what your body tries to convince you, but that's not what you're thirsty for. You're not thirsting for physical satisfaction. You're not thirsting for that chemical pop or rush that the raging hormones are going to provide you. That is Satan misdirecting you. That's him trying to get your focus off of what the real thirst is for. Your thirst, now watch this, your thirst is for something different, something deeper. Here's what I mean. Your soul, the real you, is searching for something that only God can give. And because only God can give it, that's why lust and porn and masturbation will always mark it down, always fail to genuinely satisfy. It's why we keep going back for more and more and different and more and different, excuse me, never having that thirst quenched. Well, my newest book, Purely Satisfied, Discover How to Live in Genuine Purity, shares over 1,100 passages of Scripture. You heard right. There's a lot of Bible in this book. 1,100 passages from God's Word to show you how to catch God's vision and God's plan for your life. The only way that's going to happen is when you daily choose to dethrone King Me and allow God to be Lord and leader over every aspect of your life. It's critical, my friend, that we choose daily to develop that intimate relationship with Jesus. And this new book, Purely Satisfied, Discover How to Live in Genuine Purity, will help you discover not only how to be pure, but how to stay pure. So let me strongly encourage you to go directly to Amazon.com and purchase your copy of Purely Satisfied today. Well, if you have not yet subscribed to this Point of Purity podcast, let me encourage you to do so today. Oh, my friend, I don't want you to miss any of our upcoming episodes. Well, until next time, this is author, speaker, certified professional mentor, and purity coach Steve Etner reminding you that if you're going to glorify God in your everyday living, He must first be glorified in your every moment thinking.